So now let me read from the foreword of This Is the Mass in the words of Fulton Sheen himself. We change our clothes, but our personalities remain. Liturgy changes, but the Mass is the same. Since the first edition of this book, the bishops of the United States have introduced changes in the Mass. Principal among these changes was the use of English. This is actually not as much of an innovation as it would seem. Latin was once the language of many parts of Europe. In other words, the Mass was in the vernacular. Putting part of it into English now is merely a return to talking to God in one's own tongue. Furthermore, the new liturgy, with the closer union of the priest and people, will make the Mass more and more a reenactment of Calvary, where John's and Mary's will be spoken to from the cross, as they were on Golgotha, where words of mercy will be extended to thieves who creep into the pews, where all humanity in the name of Christ will intercede to the Father for the remission of sins, and where the thirst of the people will be quenched by the wine that germinates virgins. And so what followed this reading was 11 years of intellectual and spiritual formation. I devoured the New Catechism, read authors like Fulton Sheen, John Hardin, Peter Kreeft, Scott Hahn, Patrick Madrid, and others, all feeding an understanding of God's will in my life and the Catholic foundation planted by my parents. So now I want to fast forward to April of 2006. I'm saying my morning prayers, which consist of some rote prayers like the Our Father, Hail Mary, a daily offering, and includes a meditation on a reading from the Gospel. On this particular morning, I read from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 47. It is a series of short parables on the kingdom of heaven. So let me stop a moment and read this passage, and then give you some of the lights that God revealed to me. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. So here are a few of the lights that I received. The kingdom of heaven, or field, being referred to here is the church being established on earth. Christ is the person or merchant in search of fine pearls. The pearl he seeks is a soul, which is beautiful, unique, and has infinite value in the eyes of God. The words, he goes, but where does he go? First, Christ goes to the Father, letting him know he has found the pearl. Then he goes to sell all that he has. He sells his own life in order to purchase this most beautiful pearl and the fields in which they have been planted. So the merchant, Christ, purchases the pearls and then returns them to the Father in the form of his saints in heaven. After this meditation, I was very emotional, having just been told for the first time concretely that Christ would have done all of this if it had been for one soul. It was very beautiful. So I finished the morning with some formative reading, using the encyclical of the Eucharist written by John Paul II. As I contemplated on these writings, I began to recall the gift of my father's book. And so here are a few of the sections of the encyclical that struck me early on. The Church draws her life from the Eucharist. The Second Vatican Council rightly proclaimed that the Eucharistic sacrifice is the source and summit of the Christian life. For the Most Holy Eucharist contains the Church's entire spiritual wealth. Christ himself, our Passover and living bread. Through his own flesh, now made living and life-giving by the Holy Spirit, he offers life to men. I would like to rekindle this Eucharistic amazement by the present encyclical letter, in continuity with the Jubilee heritage which I have left to the Church. To contemplate the face of Christ, and to contemplate it with Mary, is the program which I have set before the Church at the dawn of the third millennium, summoning her to put out into the deep on the sea of history with the enthusiasm of the new evangelization. To contemplate Christ involves being able to recognize him wherever he manifests himself, in his many forms of presence, but above all, in the living sacrament of his body and his blood. The Church draws her life from Christ in the Eucharist. By him she is fed, and by him she is enlightened. The Eucharist is both a mystery of faith and a mystery of light. Whenever the Church celebrates the Eucharist, the faithful can in some way relive the experience of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. As I read the words Eucharistic amazement, I recalled the effect the gift of my father's book had on me. I also realized that Christ was calling me through his vicar on earth to do a work of apostolate on the Mass. Once I realized this, my first question was, now what? I am not a trained liturgist. I am not a theologian. I know nothing about making films, producing music, recording vocalists, and the thousand of other things that it would take to do this work. But I did have faith, and I knew that if God wanted it, he would open doors and hearts. I want to go back to my father's gift for a moment. I reflected on this gift and realized that it contained, in a simple act, many things. First, it was a pursuit of love by a father to a son. Not unlike that of the prodigal son in Scripture, my father had stored up for me all of his prayers, hopes, and dreams. His intentions were many. He wanted me to have an awareness of my own sin. He prayed that I would accept the gift of mercy the Church offers. He desired that I go about the hard work of becoming the man Christ created me to be, and to carry my crosses with courage. He wanted me to be an example of Christ to my wife and children. And ultimately, he wanted me to prepare and live my life so that we can be together again one day in heaven. These were my father's dreams. And I think they are all of our dreams for ourselves and for those who we love.